Welcome everyone to the Westprint Sports Review here on Planet FM, proudly brought to you by Westprint. They're based at 9 Prairie Street in New Lynn. Their phone number is 09827 8531. Their email address is westprint.co.nz. For all your printing needs, get hold of those guys. They are fantastic and they're proud sponsors of the show. So, wow, winter is here and it's definitely here with a vengeance. It's been a very, very cold weekend. Went out to Grammar Tech to catch up with an ex-Lizard mate of mine, Richie Hawkins, the man who used to have the most magnificent mullet we've ever seen, and watched Fraser Tech beat AJ's Mob in the National 85 Championships in Golden Point, but also caught up with a little bit of club rugby, and of course our reserves won 41 points to 7. Our Force Electrical Eden reserves, I should call them. Initially, when we saw it on Tribe, it showed East Tamaki is winning, and we're all a bit shocked, but no, the result got turned around quickly. Just some of the other results here in Auckland Club Rugby. Marist 38, Waitemata 7. Manukau 38, Otahuhu 17. Grammar, and a very, very close one over Pakeranga, 25-24. Ponsonby 29, Papatoa 7. Suburb 74, Waitakere 3. And one of the big games of the day, College Rifles 22, University 15. And Rifles are on top of the table. And as we talk about rugby, we talk to ex-All Black and all-round good bloke and major Grammar supporter, AJ Whitten. AJ, good afternoon. I hope you've enjoyed your long weekend.
Well, I am actually enjoying it. I actually got up. I thought I was going to work until my wife said, "Hey, hang on, boy. It's a holiday today." That's how committed I am. But I also put a call into a mate of mine who's been knighted, Sir Buck Shelford.
Yes, absolutely.
Dwayne Shelford. So I had a nice chat and congratulated him. I did remind him, of course, that I helped him on his journey immensely. But great to see one of our mates, receive the accolade, well deserved by mate Buck, and congratulations. Yeah, good game of good round of club rugby. Grammar just in by whisker, but that's enough.
Well, don't worry. The man up above wears a yellow and black jersey. We will prevail. We will prevail, AJ. And it may be your mob in fifth, and believe me, I will not skydive. I will be a true gentleman, as I always am, and give condolences to Grammar. But just on Buck Shelford, he's actually a real good bloke. My first show here, about a year ago, Buck came in and done. He said, I asked him to come on the show. He said, "It's just a one-off." Great bloke. We spoke a bit of Super Rugby. Fantastic bloke, mate, and well-deserved. Some of the work he's done, not only for prostate cancer, he's also a real good club rugby bloke, and that's the sort of people that deserves a knighthood. But, yeah, unfortunately, you and I missed out, but I wouldn't accept one because, I think there are far better people to talk about this.
I don't think you're on the radar or even me, but anyway.
Well, maybe one day, but I probably won't accept it. I'll make a public stand on it. Anyway, let's get on to some Super Rugby, AJ. Crusaders 29, Force 21. Un-Crusaders-like performance. A last-minute try denied the Crusaders a bonus point. Some of your thoughts from that game.
Well, look, I think we've got to give a bit of credit, which we don't do for our Aussie neighbours at times, yep. But the Force and the Brumbies, we'll talk about them later, have been the two most consistent sides for them. And they came to spoil the party, and they did. Thought they weren't quite the same side as you mentioned. Obviously, a lot of changes. They gave some opportunities, which is fair enough. Mm. But at this pointy end of the competition, something I guess that Razor will look back and think, yeah, maybe I stuffed up there because, a lot of changes. They looked a bit disorganised. They looked like a team that hadn't played together, and that was borne out in the result. Again, Will Jordan always on fire. Boy, if you get him a few inches, he takes a yard. I thought the boy Howard Burke had his first bat. Congratulations. A bit of a baptism on fire. But they just didn't put the nail in the coffin. Not the Crusaders, we know. A few mistakes, few drop balls. The likes of Cody Taylor, Barrett, Grace, we always look to them. But look, They'll look back and think, well, you know, we missed a great opportunity to get a bonus point there. But, hey, credit to the force. They stepped up and, as I say, they never gave in.
Yeah, yeah, very impressive performance by the force. And then, of course, later on in the evening, the Blues 31, the Reds 24. I'm going to say something. Tom Robinson, you know, I know we've got a lot of loose forwards, but, man, he's got All Black written all over him. He is playing, having an outstanding season, AJ.
Well, you mentioned the abundance of loose forwards, and it's just one of those where you've always got plenty to choose from. Look, we wish him all the best, but, you know, it's going to be a tight call there. I thought that the game you mentioned last week, Piggy, where the Reds could upset the Blues playing at home, I was a bit impressed with them, the way they hung in there, and it could have gone pear-shaped at the end. But again, yeah, they started well. I thought the set pieces were good again. The front row, very strong with our All Blacks there, Tungavasi, Eklund and Tuifanaki. But, yeah, the loose forwards, Ione, Robinson and Papali'i, a good combination. I like the energy from Christie at halfback. Ione, I think, was very solid there. And this boy, Heen and Talia, I mean, both wingers are showing some form, and they did split them open there, and they took their opportunities. But, boy, they got out of there without the bonus, but I think it was important just to get the win because the Reds at home are no easy beats.
Yeah, I think the Reds missed James O'Connor as well, too. I think they missed that.
Definitely, yeah. They're talisman, that's what I call them. I mean, I like the way they run hard in the midfield there. I mean, they've got some great fast wingers in Daganu and Vunivalu, but they just didn't get enough ball. But they certainly missed the leadership from their first five who wasn't playing.
Certainly did, and of course then, on Saturday, the Saturday game in New Zealand was the Highlanders 59, the Waratahs 23, and I have to say, really enjoyed that game. Some fantastic play. Really impressed with Billy Harmon. He's yet another one of this fantastic loose forward production line we have here in New Zealand. But I also was impressed with Ash Dixon, great leader, and this Japanese guy, Hamero. Really, you know, I've really enjoyed the impact he's made with the Highlanders this season.
Yeah, well, here was what I was going to mention there. Look, I think it's a result we always expected. The bonus point, of course, this Waratahs team, when they're just in that trough, very hard to get out. You could throw life jackets, you could throw anything at them. They're just floundering at the moment. But, hey, they came to play an open brand of rugby. You mentioned, obviously, Himino, the Japanese player, and Harmon and Elente. I just think the combination's very good in the loose forwards. We've got plenty there. Ash Dixon, a leader, he leads from the front. This boy, De Groot, the prop, you know, scored a couple of tries. He'll be singing the praises. He would have had a few jars last night. But Nariki, back to some form, really thought that he went missing for a couple of games. But good combination in the midfield, which I think is very solid at the moment in Gregory and Collins. And I think it's just laying the foundation for their outsides. But, hey, you know, the Waratahs, they threw the ball around. I see my nephew Jack Wett was playing there, pretty solid in the line-out. But they're just not defensively on top of their game. Too many holes, and at times it looked like a bit of Swiss cheese there, didn't it, mate? With the backs running through them and scoring tries at will.
Yeah, it just the Waratahs, I don't know what has happened to rugby in the New South Wales area, but, you know, that's a real cock case for Australian rugby, and we never expected, 20 years ago, you'd never expect it because they were so strong.
Very strong.
Maybe more teams has basically demented the depth within Australian rugby. Who knows?
Yep.
But anyway, Brumbies 12, Hurricanes 10. This loose forward, Vitari, was really, really good. I thought he was fantastic. Tom Banks, really good as well, too, at fullback. And, of course, Geordie, we don't expect him to miss.
Well, I guess it just shows the intensity. This was another game we picked. The Brumbies at home are tough, and you've got to bring your A game, not only physically but mentally. I thought that both teams just fired shots at each other. It didn't rise to any expectations for that last 20 minutes where there was a lot riding on the line. And as you said, Jody Barrett, you know, on another day he would have slotted those. But, hey, you know, that'll come back, and it will. And it has bitten them in the bum. It's given the Crusaders an opportunity. It's pushed the Highlanders up the table there on points difference. So should have got those kicks, didn't, and they're going to pay the price. I like the boy Banks for the Brumbies. He ran hard, and that boy Cutter on the wing, I think he's been very good for the Brumbies. He's a menace with ball in hand. And another team playing at home, they rise to the equation. I thought they were very good in their back row. Stowers and Reema were good. And this boy, CO, the prop, he never gives in. But, hey, the Hurricanes, well, they can look back and just miss some opportunities. Weren't clinical enough. Again, Kariffi, Finbin, a bit of ill discipline, and that cost them. Mm. Now, Marpi was quiet. Julian Sevilla, not many opportunities. Royasi, a couple of spilt balls. Just not the Hurricanes team that's been so clinical in the first three rounds, and they were going to play not up to par in this game. Well, it cost them big time.
Certainly did, AJ. Well, and of course, the last game was yesterday, and I watched a bit of it. Chiefs 36, Rebels 26. Anton Leonard-Brown, well, we can tell why he's the first name on the All Black sheet. On the All Black sheet, he's outstanding.
Yeah, no, again, player, he's been really consistent and probably been the in-form back of the Trans-Tasman competition. A couple of nice tries, and boy, one of them wasn't a beauty. Inside and then chopped off his foot, left the fullback standing there. So great play. I liked Bryn Grattland was very steady. I just thought it was a bit scrappy to start, to be honest, with both teams. You know, halfback not finding the first five, couple of drop balls. Suwakala added some energy with Jacobson, and Boshier always consistent. Buff was strong with ball in hand, but again, the Rebels. We seem to give them a bit of lip service at times with this Korobeti. I think he's a player, and Tamura, they're very steady there in midfield, but didn't quite take their chances. And, you know, they'll look back and think, hey, you know, we maybe could have taken it a bit to the wire, but I thought the Chiefs just had enough always, but a bit of ill discipline just let them down at times to let the Rebels sneak up in the scoreboard.
Certainly did. Well, the final, we get into the next round, of course. The Blues have got the Force. Well, I think, and I'm expecting the Blues to have a win. Hurricanes have the Reds, and I'm expecting the Reds to win. The Crusaders have the Rebels. I'm expecting the Rebels to win. And
ooh.
No. I'm expecting the Crusaders to win. Jeez, God. These public
where are you going? Have you had a few Bertie raspberries or something?
No. I'll be definitely having a few after that faux pas. God. But I am. And, of course, the Highlanders have the Brumbies, which should be the match to watch. I'm going to pick it right now. It's going to be a Blues Crusaders final at Eden Park on July the 19th, and I shall be there.
Well, I think you could be right. The Highlanders to beat the Brumbies away. If they do, will they get enough points to keep them in second? It's definitely there for the Crusaders. Playing the Rebels at home, they'll fancy themselves. Well, sorry, in Leichhardt Oval there in Sydney. The Blues have got it all for them. We expect them to win. It doesn't matter about the bonus point. They will, as long as they win, they will get to top of the table. The Chiefs, well, they're just looking in. But yes, definitely the three matches, the matches to watch, Highlanders, Brumbies, the Rebels against the Crusaders, and the Blues at four. So, could go either way for that second position, but it's certainly going to be a home semi-final, wherever that is in New Zealand.
Home final. It will be a home final, and I'm reckoning it's at Eden Park.
Yeah.
And I'll probably see you there when I go into your elitist private club and shout you a few rum and cokes.
Well, you will be if you come into the bar room, because that's the only way you'll get in if you look after the house manager, and that's me.
There's something in the water of that Barbarians Club. If you're the house manager, it worries me. Anyway, AJ, great chatting.
We're not running at a profit, put it that way.
On that note, you have a fantastic rest of the day, and we'll catch up next Monday. Cheers.
Okay, bud. Take care.
Cheers. AJ Whitten, house manager at the Barbarians. Well, that's going to be interesting, popping in there in a couple of weeks' time. Play a bit of music, then we've got Blue McLennan. welcome everyone back to the West Prince Sports Review here on Planet FM, and of course NRL and a bit of rugby league. Big week of rugby league coming up. There's State of O and of course New South Wales versus Queensland. I'm back in New South Wales, but me and Bluey. But we're going to chat to the real expert, ex-Kiwis coach, ex-Warriors and ex-Leeds Rhinos coach, Brian Bluey McLennan. Bluey, how the hell are you on this long weekend?
Going great, thanks. Thanks, Piggy. But wet out there, isn't it? But, needed the rain.
We certainly did, Bluey. And, of course, it's been a shortened week of NRL, so we're going to run through a bit of stuff today, the games that were played, and also talk a bit of State of Origin, and we're going to pick our Kiwi side. So we'll kick it off with the first game was St George 52, Brisbane 14. Matt Duffy, outstanding and off contract, but this guy, Jack Bird, I felt he had a great game.
Yeah, like he's so versatile, Jack Bird. You know, he's a grand final winner with the Cronulla Sharks as well, and he's got a lot about him, and he's big enough to be centre or back row, and with back row he gets touch the ball a bit more, so it's, yeah, really good change. And yeah, Matt Duffy, it's crazy, isn't it? I mean, this bloke's in terrific form. I could imagine he wouldn't be on the market for too long. Somebody would pick him up, surely.
Certainly would. And of course then we got the second game, which was the Panthers. They've got a lot out with State of Origin, but I still expected them to win with the lineup they got. But the West Tigers were outstanding. And of course Luke Brooks and Dane Laurie. This guy Dane Laurie is fantastic. I don't care what anyone says, he's bloody good. I wish we could have him at the Warriors next season.
He's an ex-Penrith boy, so he had a little bit of a point to prove, and did he what? And, look, the Tigers really sort of frustrated the Panthers quite a bit, and they were a little bit immature, because of lack of experience, some of the Panther boys, and just didn't handle the game.
They certainly did, and of course Matt Burton didn't, a young promising player, didn't have his best game, but it's a baptism of fire. He's feeling new to first grade. Then, of course, the Storm, they were very, very lucky against the Gold Coast. And, of course, Remus Smith and Nelson Solomon Afoa are both on report. What was your thoughts on that game?
I really like Brandon Smith. He showed a lot of leadership in the game, and thought the Titans finally flared their nostrils after many, many weeks. You know, they had a red hot crack. So, I thought it was, it wasn't the highest standards of game, but they were competing, and good to see the young Waiheke boy at hooker going well.
Certainly did, and of course, then we had the Eels who, over the nights now, Clint Gutherson, Sevo, those Wonga Blake, those guys are just fantastic, and they really look like a good side. And of course, the guy I think doesn't get the raps is Isaiah Papali'i, who I think's having an outstanding season.
Yeah, he's really stepped up a gear, since being over in Sydney. Is it just a new, he's sort of more spring in his step, just being in a new environment? He seems to have developed his skill set a little bit more footy sense. But, good luck to him. He's always held in high regard at the Warriors in terms of training ethic. Now he's adding on layers with skill level.
Certainly is, and of course we'll be talking about him in a few moments later, because I've got my Kiwi team and he's in it, but that's a surprise selection. But anyway, no, it's not really. State of Origin. Can the Maroons, can they win this first one in Townsville? It's all in their favour, even though New South Wales probably has all the gun players there at the moment.
Yeah, I see that, and I've seen that for decades as well, and Queensland still turn around and win. I think when you're looking at it, on paper, yeah, I think New South Wales do look stronger, particularly on their edges. I think, Latrell Mitchell and Tom Trbojevic at centres is pretty scary, but do New South Wales get it? like Queensland get it in terms of uniting to become a team? That's the question, and I think New South Wales got there wrong last year, and Queensland, as usual, just gets so tight. So I'm not too sure. I'm really hung on the fence. But, you know, I'm going to lean to an upset here and go Queensland.
Yeah, okay, well, I might just take New South Wales, but I think it's going to be
close. Yeah, they're hot favourites.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Anyway, we come to the moment. Mid-season test, the Kiwis, Piggies Kiwis team and Blueys Kiwis team. I'm going to let you start off with your 17.
Okay. Been tough this, but fun. But there are, you know, I'm not too sure who's available and who's unavailable.
Yep.
Anyway, number one, Roger Tuivasa-Sheck. Two, Ken Mamalo. Three, Joseph Manu. Four, Remus Smith. Five, Adam Pompey. Six, Jerome Hughes. Seven, Chanel Tavita-Harris. Eight, Jesse Bromwich. Nine, Brandon Smith. 10, Nelson Asofa-Solomona. 11, Kenny Bromwich. 12, Tohu Harris. 13, James Fisher-Harris. 14, Cody Nikurima. 15, Jared Wairua-Hargreaves. 16, Isaac Liu. And 17, your boy who you were talking about, Isaiah Papali'i.
Okay.
So, yeah, there's a couple I didn't know if they're available or not. One young player that I hope commits to Kiwis is Josh Schuster at Manly. Boy, he could be an addition further down the track, so I'm not sure where he would go. And I really think Morgan Harper at Manly is playing really, really well too, and he's coming through.
It certainly is. Well, I'll give you my Kiwi team. Now, the reason that I haven't picked Roger is because, obviously, I'm looking towards, say, the Rugby League World Cup. I put Dallin Watini the Zesiak at fullback. I've gone for consistencies on the wings. So I've gone for Rapana and I've gone for Bailey Simonson. In the centres, picked the same as you, Remus Smith and Joey Manu. I've gone for Sean Johnson at standoff, and the reason I've gone for that is that when he plays for the Kiwi, he just grows another leg. He loves playing for that Kiwis jumper. Jerome Hughes, James Fisher-Harris, Brandon Smith, that was the easiest choice. Kenny Bromwich, Tohu Harris, Isaiah Papali'i, Nelson Solomonafoa on the bench, Cody Nikurima, Kenny Bromwich, Jared, and of course I've gone for, at 17, you might be surprised, Jazz Stavanger. I just think he could add a lot more to this, and I thought, just as an 18th man, Patrick Herbert to join the squad. Only could be, and the reason being for that is that I believe we've got a real lack of depth in that centre position.
Well, both teams could go alright, huh?
Yeah. It wouldn't be great if we could have a mid-season test against Tonga or Fiji. And I tell you something, in the past, Bluey, these would be seen as walkover games for the Kiwis. But because the strength within Pacific Island Rugby League at the moment, and it's really affected New Zealand Rugby League. New Zealand Rugby League has been lesser because a lot of these kids are born here, but they want to play for Tonga or Samoa or Fiji. You know, that would be really interesting.
Yeah, look, the growth of the island nations has been, you know, the highlight, the positive for international league, and it's what we needed. Yeah, and it has made it tougher for the Kiwis. But, you know, Kiwis have always faced it being a bit tougher. I mean, we've always had that challenge of Kiwi players wanting to play State of Origin over the years, you know, so we lost a few there. So, you know, it's just how it rock and rolls. So, but the Kiwi team, both you know, that you named and I named, that given the right plans and, you know, having the right team environment, they could knock over any team in the world.
They certainly could, and of course, you have a look at it, that the Kiwis team we've picked is dominated by the Melbourne Storm.
Yeah, 100%, and that's
good.
You know, that's the key, and even when you're looking at State of Origin matches over the years, if your team can be littered with the best team's players, and I noticed that sometimes when I watch test matches and you look at the best players, and they're all the players from the best team, they're from, you know, from the Roosters and from Melbourne, you know, and now Penrith is making its mark. But generally, you can have a lot of players from a really successful club. That's going to go a long way for your rep team being a good team.
Certainly is. Wow, that was great, Blue. And I have to say, really enjoyed that today. And of course, we'll catch up next week. And and I'll give you a call during the week because we've got to catch up in the next couple of weeks for a quiet cup of coffee somewhere.
Sweet, no problems, Piggy. Be a pleasure.
Caught either Spates or Lyon. So. So, mate, I have to say, enjoy the rest of your weekend and what's left of it, and we'll catch up next Monday. Cheers, Blue.
Okay, good as gold. See you, mate.
See you, mate. Okay, that was Blue McLennan. It was great getting that Kiwi side. So, he's got some great insight to the game. And, of course, their team was fairly close, just a few differences. Okay, so next up, I'm going to get Noel Barclay on the line, and we're going to have a chat. Okay.
Zavallı hapçeye düşmüş bir kere Çalışır pavyonda küsmüş feleğe Açmış kalçasını tef tef çalar Sallar çalkalar her gece Sulanır her gelir salyası akar Döndüğe kalkmayana hapçeye kalka Her geleye baksanıza her geleye Maskesi düşmüş dönmüş keleye Koca eşek her gele sen nereye böyle telaşlı telaşlı acelece Çıkınca işinden her gece koş koş Meyhaneye, kerhaneye hoş hoş Sonra niye gelir eve boş boş Çorbası salatası ağızlara layık Kadın buzu köfte Beklerde bekler sevgili heriflerde Bilmez ki meyhanede kafayı çekmiş sarhoş oh, My hoş oh. Yedirmiş hacı Bin yok cebinde Yazık döndü laf edemez katlanır Yoksa yer tokat ekmek kapaklanır Sabreyle işine hayır gelsin derler ya başına İki çocukla döndü napsa boşuna
Okay, everyone, welcome back to the Sports Review here on Planet FM. And before we start on the football with Noel Barclay, I just want to give out a special thanks. Our usual voice, Brenda McNeice, due to work commitment, is unable to commit to the show. I just want to thank Brendan. He's provided some good insight, a lot of laughs, and he will be missed. And Brendan, thank you so much. I really appreciate this from the bottom of my heart. I hope to get you on the show one day when you've got a free moment so we can have a bit of a laugh. So anyway, we'll get on to it right now. We have former All White, Noel Barclay. Good afternoon, Noel. Travelling back from holidays, are you?
Indeed, Eamon, in a very wet, windy day.
Oh, yeah, I tell you what, it's not, I don't know where you are, but it's good to be inside the studio. I usually moan about the air conditioning, but oh, God, it's actually good to be in the studio. We were just chatting off air. Chris Wood has had three offers come into him. Aston Villa have come in with a big offer of $40 million. They're also talking Everton. And West Ham, around that 40 to 50 million pound mark. That's what they're saying. Oh, I know, around that dollar mark. Not pound.
I did read something that if Burnley could get 30 million pounds, they'd sell them in a heartbeat. Because obviously, they don't have a big budget. And then they would also be able to rebuild. They've got a player at Watford who would come back and replace Wood. So, yeah, look, what an opportunity. He's 28 heading 29, one last big payday, and you've got to think that that's got a reasonable chance of happening, given that he's always in double digits for goals he has done for the last 4 years. So very exciting for him. I'm sure he wouldn't mind a move.
I tell you what, and you have a look at that, and it's well worth it. Scoring if you're in double digits for a side like Burnley, I think you're punching above your weight, especially in the Premiership, Noel.
Yeah, I mean, and most of that really happened in the last sort of 10, 12 games. He, you know, they sort of battled their way this year, Burnley. They sort of struggled, and he sort of pulled them through again. So I guess that's, you know, I mean, scoring goals in the Premier League is not easy when you think, actually, Chelsea, their top goal scorer is 7, and most of them were penalties. So, yeah, he's double digits, and he's proven himself now in both the Championship and the EPL. So, yeah, like one last big payday, I'm sure, is, you know, at the front of his mind. And he'll have an interesting summer. Hopefully, he'll end up going to Tokyo, of course, for the Olympics with New Zealand.
Yeah,
I know he wants to go. Just whether Burnley allow him to go, given all of the issues that the world has. So yeah, fingers crossed for him.
Certainly, we certainly hope so. Well, the Phoenix season has ended. They have finished 7th. I have to say, it was probably a season of regret for them, dropping a few games earlier on in the season. But they finished off the season in style, 3-0 over in Macarthur. But really, while missing out on the playoffs, I see a lot of positives coming out of it. Now, a lot of players have re-signed. I think at the beginning of the season, we did miss Stephen Taylor, but most players have re-signed, and I think that the Phoenix are a real chance to go into them playoffs for next season.
Yeah, they've got a... Yes, look, that was a great end of the season. I mean, it went one more point, you can't help but look back to that penalty miss at Eden Park a couple of weeks ago, and we were all there, of course, and won that game that had gone through, and of course they'd gone, I think, 10 undefeated at the end of the season, incredible, and you know they drew at Adelaide, and I think they drew with Melbourne City, so it wasn't the bum side they were playing, and it's a bit of a disappointment. I guess all of the Kiwi guys re-signing in the emergence of Clayton Lewis and Sutton and McGarry are big things. Losing Davia and the other lad that's going to Melbourne Victories, but they've lost the heart of their midfield, and they don't really have suitable replacements. I don't see them yet. If they re-sign Hemed, which I'm sure they will now, because he's sort of been a revelation in the last few weeks. I didn't like the look of him at the start, and I take that one on the chin, because he's definitely proved me wrong, and he's been a class act. But yeah, they will need to put some money into that centre of midfield. Area where they're a bit lacking, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think they'll need a decent midfielder, either with a good A-League experience or at least at English Championship level, or at least in the top to middle European leagues now, because, you know, Davila's he has been a revelation for those seasons he's been at the Phoenix, and he's been the real talisman, apart from the missed penalty at Eden Park. To be honest with you, I don't think he looked comfortable when he was taking it, but he has been the real inspiration behind this Phoenix side, and it's also good to see Stephen Taylor's re-signed as well too.
Absolutely. I mean, he's an inspiration when he's playing, and I can't help but think that he's great for the young players that are around him. He's a good influence, and they've got a bit of work to do. I mean, I guess that the challenge for them next season is to know what next season looks like in terms of is it going to be, you know, will they get, you know, home games and the Australian teams to travel? I presume that's what they're hoping for. But there's a bit of work to be done there with government and COVID and all of those sort of things. And hopefully they can sort that out, because what a disadvantage that they've had. It's been tough.
Have to agree with you there. Well, we move on to the Euros 2020 and 2021. Okay, Noel, we might as well get to it. Who are you picking to win the Euros? Who are you picking to win it? Who are you picking to be your runners-up? Your first, Noel, and I'll give you my pick.
I'm going to go France. When you look at France's strength on the bench, and you look at... Portugal, Portugal got 3 players for every position, so I see it as been between France and Portugal. Spain don't look great. England haven't looked great in their 2 warm-up games, so they're not really. Belgium De Bruyne, it looks like he's going to miss the first game. I'm just not sure. I think that team is a little bit aged at the back. They've still got sort of defenders who sort of struggled in EPL and so on. So I see France. I mean, Mbappe, Pogba, Benzema, You know, they've just got tons of talent and they're solid. They've got two, three players for every position. So I think they're an absolute shoe-in to win it. And Portugal, you can never say no, because if you look through their side, they really have three players for every position, and they're all playing in top leagues. Ronaldo's maybe at the twilight, but he has a habit of turning up on the big games, and you wouldn't bet against him having a big influence on what happens.
Okay,
what do you think?
Yeah, okay, I'm going to go for Portugal. I picked Portugal to win it, but I'm actually going to go for a Portugal-Italy final. I just think Italy could be the one that could surprise us all. You never know with the Italians what team they're going to bring out. I think France are there. But the flop of the tournament, I'm going to bring out a big flop. I'm going to pick either of these two teams, and Noel, you can agree or you can disagree with me. I think either Germany or England are going to be the flops of this tournament.
Yeah, I think Germany, you know, when they've recalled likes of Müller and stuff like that, which sort of tells me that they're obviously struggling. That they're a bit light up top. Obviously, Bayern Munich have got Lewandowski, but of course he's Polish. So to me, they're short up top. They don't have in the central attacking area, and they've got lots of good wingers. I think they're not the side they were, and I think that Lowe, the coach, it's time for him to move. England's a funny one, really. If they could get everybody on the park and everybody fit, you know, Sancho and Grealish and obviously Kane down the middle, looks now, you know, they've got Rice, and they're definitely going to hold this place in midfield. Okay. They've got some issues at the back, clearly, with Maguire being injured. But they actually have the apart from the fact they've got four right backs in the squad, they've got a lot of talent. It's just whether they're going to be able to gel on the day, in those big games, you know, where they where they sort of have a habit of sort of buying out badly or missing out on penalties. But I think they're in the mix ahead of Germany for me. You know, so it's Belgium, England, France, Portugal. That's sort of how I see things turning out. I'm not sure what the draw says about that, but they're the four countries that I think will live in the mark.
Do you think Scotland can cause it a few upsets at that tournament?
Well, they have done already. Then, first of all, by qualifying, but they have in the last week. I think they won again this morning away. I think it was Luxembourg, and of course they drew with Holland. Should have beaten Holland, a very strong Dutch side. And so there's something going on there, that's for sure. And I think probably Scotland more than Wales at this point seemingly look like they've got you know, a bit of form about them. And it's been a long time coming for them, and it'd be great to see them get certainly qualify for the next stage.
Yeah, it would be, and of course that England Scotland match. I think it's going to be. I tell you what, there'll be a lot of bars around town, which you'll find a lot of English and Scottish supporters there. I might just avoid them. I might just watch it in the comfort of my home, because I can tell you something, that is going to be a cracker of a match.
Yeah, and you know, and all the talent goes out the window then, because it's tribal, and when tribal, it doesn't really matter whether you've got Harry Kane or not. It's about who turns up, and you know, it's been a long time coming for Scotland, and I'd really love to see them do well.
Oh, so would I. Yeah, I think it would be fantastic. Just a couple of local games that are happening. I got told to mention this by an old mate of mine, Shane Rogers, that Auckland City are playing Bay Olympic in a bit of a local derby today.
Okay. I know Shane Rogers really well. I played against him when I was finishing my career, and he was playing over 30s or over 40s, it may have been. And that is a big game. That is a big game. Olympic, I think Paul Marshall coaches them, and of course, Auckland City, you know, don't need any introduction. That'll be a tough game, and you know, that whole Premiership in the Auckland area is shaping up to be really strong. And I think the Auckland team are going to be a lot stronger than around the country from what I've seen so far.
Yeah, I think especially in the central area where you've got western suburbs, have lost a lot of players from the last couple of years, either with overseas moves or moves across the country or to US college. So, yeah. Anyway, Noel, thank you so much for stepping in today, and I hope the drive is a quick one and safe one back to Auckland.
Thank you. I've just arrived, so it's all good, and you have a great day, man.
Cheers. Thank you very much, Noel. Have a great day. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that was Noel Barclay, and of course, real good bloke. He gives good insight into football, and of course, hopefully we get to talk to him a bit during the Euros, but we'll have somebody in, so don't worry, it won't be me doing the Euros. We'll have some people in who will be enjoying, so we'll hopefully give you the best coverage we can of Euro 2020 and 2021. I'm going to play a bit of music, and then we're going to get on to Mark Watson. The Silver Tongue Silver Fox is on a, is probably on a plane leaving Invercargill. He was down there for Invercargill Marist Centenary, so we'll have a quick chat to Mr. Watson coming up next.
It is up to you.
Welcome everyone back to the Sports Review here on Planet FM, and of course usually we have two panellists, but one of our panellists, the Silver Tongue Silver Fox, is on a plane coming back from Invercargill, where he was having a good weekend down there, and didn't bring back any bluff oysters, much to my disappointment. But we have the man, the legend, and the hopeless romantic on this public holiday Monday. Good afternoon, Mr. Mark Watson. How are you, mate?
Very good, very good. I'm on, yes. I'm not saying I'm enjoying this weather, mate. I'm not enjoying this weather at all. I'm not somebody who enjoys sort of dark, gloomy days. I'm somebody who needs the sun and needs the blue skies. So it is what it is, though.
Yeah, we will survive, Mark. We will survive. There's no doubts about that. Well, I was going to say there's something in the water at the moment. It must be coming out of Wellington. There is a new private members bill going through Parliament, basically asking for to ban alcohol sponsorship, i.e. naming rights, to sporting events. This, the trickle-down effect may affect sporting facilities. I've read the bill, Mark, and I have to say that I just totally don't agree with it. I feel that we're basically, what we do here in New Zealand, Mark, and you can agree or you can disagree with me, is a lot of our alcohol sponsorship for major sports events and major, and for rugby clubs, cricket clubs, bowling clubs, they pay for a lot of stuff. And it's only naming rights. I just don't know where Chloe Smallbrook is heading with this. I'm going to have a chat to her in a couple of weeks.
Let's talk about Chloe Smallbrook. Let's talk about the left wing. They're the same people that wanted to legalise marijuana and have 18-year-olds and everybody in society smoking dope, and yet at the same time they want to take alcohol sponsorship out of sport because somehow it's going to be harmful. I'm sorry, I just find this complete and utter hypocrisy and nothing short of stupidity. Look, I don't think you should be a member of parliament till you're about 35 and had some life experience.
because I'm sure as good as she is, she just comes across as just sort of a silly little girl who's just grabbing headlines. That's sort of how I see it. I don't think she really understands the issues. I mean, if you're going to carry it through to sport, are you going to take it away from the arts as well and all of these other sorts of, the other side of society? And it's not, you know, clearly, you know, alcohol sponsorship will target things like the orchestra and will target some of our arts
events
because they do think the fit is the right one with the clientele and their particular brand story. But look, you know, look, I'll keep saying this, it comes down to good old-fashioned parenting, doesn't it? You know, it comes down to good old-fashioned parenting. You know, it's up to the parents to teach their kids about making the right decisions. Alcohol is always going to be there, okay? If it has such a big, and it does, I mean, yes, alcohol leads to a lot of crime, a lot of, you know, people dying, car accidents, a whole, just ban it completely if you, you know, ban it completely if that's the path you want to go down. And good luck with that, good luck with that, because prohibition, well, it doesn't work, it never has worked. And I am just sick and tired of everybody that's always on the far left trying to tell us how to live life, how to do things, how to make choices for us. This is a damn democracy. Now, where I could argue the case is, okay, so you buy, you know, the replica jerseys of the Super Rugby teams, and I think Mike Hosking might have brought this up, and they've got beer sponsorship all over them, and kids are wearing these into school. Simple. When you sell your gear in the shops, just don't have the sponsored stuff on it. I mean, you can buy a lot of replica jerseys overseas without the sponsors' logos on the shirts. It's a really simple thing to do. And then Chloe Schwarber, let's move on. Let's go and look at the Warriors. So what have they got on their jerseys? Okay, we've got casinos on there. Well, let's get rid of that. Let's get rid of the fast food that's also on there. And then let's see how that club survives. And we know how important that club is to a large community of Auckland. If you're going to get rid of alcohol sponsorship, show us where the government is going to step up and allow for our sports organisations, and rugby can pretty much look after itself. You know, it's a big enough and ugly enough sport to do it. But think about all those other small sports. Think about the likes of the local tennis clubs and the local football clubs who don't have these organisations, these governing bodies that have incredible wealth that can sort of, you know, sort of a top-down approach and subsidise all of these clubs. You know, it doesn't work. It's a stupid idea, and it's complete and utter hypocrisy when you've got a Prime Minister who never declared her hand until after the election that she was pro-use of marijuana or pro-decriminalising it. I mean, it's just complete and utter stupidity.
It is, Mark, and I'm going to say this. I've read through parts of it, like they said, if there is a special event, then they may be given exemptions. Well, I'm going to tell you something right now. There's going to be a hell of a lot of exemptions given out under the spill. I really hope the politicians, and i.e. the government, see a bit of common sense in this. You know, New Zealand, we're not stupid. We're not children. And this is the thing. Are we a democracy, or have we turned into a nanny state? Personally, I think it's a stupid bill. So basically, I've been in a club, Mark, as you well know. So do you know how they get their funding? Through alcohol, through gaming machines, probably through fast food. At the end of the day is, if we're going to ban alcohol, ban the whole lot. So where is the sponsorship going to come from? The government? It isn't a bottomless pit.
But, you know, there where it ends. It's like the sort of same bringing in. It's, you know, the other issue I always had, I thought, well, okay, let's bring, people talk about bringing in a fat tax and a sugar tax, and you go, well, tax Coca-Cola and we'll tax McDonald's and we'll bring all this. And I'm like, okay, do we then go and tax the parents who drop their kids off at school? Do we tax the parents more money who bring their kids home and dump them in front of the television, in front of the PlayStation? I mean, at what point do we actually put the emphasis and onus back on parents in regards to, you know, allowing our kids to grow up and make the right decisions rather than always blaming the corporate, you know? At the same time, they're happy to take the tax off these companies, aren't they? You know? And, oh, well, we're short on tax. Okay, well, we'll go and suddenly tax people to work really hard even more because, you know, we need to pay for the nanny state that we've created below it.
Yep.
It's just appalling here. It's just dreadful. I mean, you can't even have a diverse discussion these days. A certain group of people are not allowed to have their say because it's offensive. Everybody, you know, the far left, though, more than happy to have their say, more than happy to tell us how to live their lives, mate, because their way is the right way.
Well, I'll let you know this, Mark. The email, as while we were talking, has been delivered to the member for Central Auckland. I'm doing this straight after the show. We're going to get her on the show. We're going to debate the issues because I believe this needs to be heard. I believe that we can't have just one side which is dominating it. That member needs to hear the sporting side. And at the end of the day I guaranteed if this was happening in the arts or anything like that where they were taking Montana wine or whatever, saying you're not allowed to sponsor that, there would be an uproar.
Yeah, well, when you talk to Chloe and all the Greens too, you know, just check they've got their little electric cars outside when they do turn up too. And then maybe while they're trying to get carbon neutral government and all the government cars, and they could maybe ask too why you're there just about State Highway 16 north of Auckland and why they're allowing 40,000 homes to be developed and no further one main road in and out. Meanwhile, at the same time, we want to be carbon neutral, so we've got everybody sitting in traffic 2 hours a day, pumping crap into the air. Meanwhile, the government want to look good with their big PR spin and say, hey, look at us, we're all in electric cars, we're doing the right thing. I mean, honestly.
Yeah.
Honestly, and people are stupid enough to buy into this crap and this rhetoric.
I tell you what, we're not a political show, but this has got my eye, and it's probably got your eye, this private members bill. But we might as well talk about other things, and of course it's not getting any positive, Mark. Kane Williamson, I'll tell you something, I'm worried. I'm actually concerned on his form. He looks out of touch before this World Test Championship.
Oh, look, he's got one test match, hasn't he? One more test match before this World Club final. But I've said it the whole time. You know, if it wasn't for the COVID, they'd still be playing T20 cricket in India at the moment. And I found that just disgusting. That the captain of the country, prior to a World Cup, or a World Cup in test cricket, first time it's been staged, might not quite have the same, because it doesn't have history, some people might dismiss it a little bit. But then, you know, go back to the 87 Rugby World Cup and how much do we suddenly place emphasis on it now? And we really do go back and remember that 87 side and it's a big deal for us. And the same thing with this cricket. And so, look, even if it was COVID, they wouldn't even be here playing. I don't think we would have seen Tim Southee in this test. And that whole thing about how badly do you want this, and I've mentioned it two or three times previously, really still irks me. Look, I think Kane Williamson, look, all I'm going to say on this one is we know how good he is. He seems to be a guy who will be aware of whether his form's there. I'm not sure that he's a guy that needs to be spoon-fed in the environment. I think he is that sort of guy that will go, you know what, I need to go into the nets and I need to get some guys and I just need to make sure this is happening. So, look, he's got, two more innings, technically, to try and get himself right for that test against India. But you're right. We need him. We can't win this without him. Great opening test debut for Conway and stuff. But let's be honest, the history of New Zealand cricket, we've always been shaky at the top of the order, haven't we? Nice to see Latham get some runs as well in that, in the second innings anyway. So, yeah. Look, I think any time New Zealand cricket plays in test match, I'm always jittery, no matter what, you know.
Yeah, I had a look at that test and I'm just concerned, good to see Latham getting runs. Taylor still hasn't come into any form. Henry Nicholls, well, at least he's got a bit of consistency, but I'm actually concerned about our middle order. I just believe it needs to fire, especially against India, if we've got any chance of winning this World Test Championship. I must admit, the bowling wasn't too bad. I have to say, Jameson has proved what a revelation he is, and of course, Southee, those conditions really suit him.
Yeah, look, there's a lot of really positive things about New Zealand cricket. As I said, when I was on Radio Sport and going hard in the early days, I just went after cricket because they were just a lazy bunch of prima donnas, you know, had a lot of talent but no application and, you know, drinking, smoking after games and all that sort of crap that went on. And I think there's been a real shift and I think we are genuinely starting to see that. So, look, yeah, there is a lot of positives to like about New Zealand cricket. Now, don't forget Bolt's got to come back in. So Bolt's Southee, Jamieson, and then you've got Neil Wagner there, who's just a toiler, and, you know, particularly on a more benign type wicket, you just go to Wagner. So, look, I think that side of the game's right. You know, if you were to go man for man, India outplays us probably in most areas. However, it's England conditions in June. And based on that, I give New Zealand every chance, as long is the BCCI, haven't had too much of an influence. That's the governing body's overlook Indian cricket. Haven't had too much of an influence in how this particular pitch might look in Southampton.
Yeah, well, we could be playing on State Highway number 16, but
well,
if they've got any...
It could be a very un-English cricket wicket in England.
It could be indeed. Well, we might as well get to it. Well, I didn't get the call, neither did you. We missed out on our Queen's birthday honours, Mark, but it was great to see a guy like Wayne Shelford, who I think deserves it because he's done a lot to do with prostate cancer. He's also done a lot around club rugby and a lot with Maori sports development as well too, and a lot with youth. So I'm happy with that, but when it comes to Queen's birthday's honours, I see some really good sports people getting it. Then I see somebody who's, you know, like somebody who's an who's a retiring All Black or a retiring cricketer who's been paid heaps of money, gets a gong because they are who they are. I don't know what you're...
I mean, congratulations to Buck Shelford, but... Yeah. Look, there are a lot of people out there that do what Buck Shelford do, and probably at a much, much higher level in terms of, you know, what they do in the club rugby scene or the club sports scene around the country, and then probably what they might also be doing in regards to charities. I guess the thing Buck Shelford has got, because he's got profile, he brings greater awareness to it. But should he be rewarded for that any more so than somebody else? You know, that's the debate. But look, congratulations, Tom, well done. It's always going to be subjective, isn't it? I mean, I always am just mystified that, say, Valerie Adams, as an example, gets knighted, still during her career, two gold medals in Olympic Games, silver. You know, I'm not quite sure the rationale they put around it at the time in terms of what she does out in the community, but I still then can't understand how a guy like Danyon Loader can win two gold medals in the pool in the biggest sport of the first week of the Olympics. Something Ian Thorpe didn't do at his first games, winning the 2 and 400 double, wins a silver medal 4 years earlier in the butterfly. But because he's introverted and he can't necessarily convey or the public can't relate to him, his Queen's Honours, you know, one of the lower ends. And I struggle with that inconsistency. And I hate to say it, I think there is a political environment at the moment that just favours certain people. And, you know, I don't think I need to probably go any further on, in terms of what that political environment is.
Yep, we won't go there. Just when you're talking about Danyon Loader, like that's a guy. But even a guy like Glenn Turner, because they're controversial, because they're basically straight, Glenn Turner, straight shooter, has not been honoured by New Zealand at all. Now, that's a guy, whether you like him or not, and I like Glenn, has done a lot for cricket, and not at the national, and at the national level, at the local level. But because Glenn is basically calls it the way he sees it, he doesn't get the accolades.
Well, look, I used to say this on Radio Sport News to be, but I'm thinking of setting up a charity called Land Rights for Gay Wales, and that's really just...
No,
there's nothing political. No, I haven't. I haven't broken any broadcasting rules. And saying, what I'm actually just saying is, I mean, I just want to basically get up past Wales, who are not that welcome, and offer them land rights, because that's just how bloody ridiculous it's starting to get in this country, mate.
It is getting a bit, yeah, I have to say that, but then again, we still have the... We still have sports. Well, not too long before you head off on the big jet to Tokyo, Mark.
Yeah, no, looking forward to that, mate. In about 6 weeks' time, hopefully you get some warm weather and stuff, and, get a microphone and sort of hopefully, you know, have some audience back here and hopefully go and sell that moment, mate. But, really exciting time coming up with the Olympics. Looking forward to that. The next test in the cricket. Looking forward to the European Football Cup too as well.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I think it's going to be a fantastic tournament, England versus Scotland. That'll be a great match. Well, Mark, I have to say, thank you very, very much, mate, for coming on.
You go and send that invitation and you start challenging that, Eamon. That's what it's all about, mate.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't let anybody just tell us how to live our lives, mate. And as I say, don't let them morally police us, mate, because, you know, they believe their value system or whatever is the only value system. It's a bit like people say, hey, we should be teaching religion in school, and you go to them, well, which religion? I'm like, well, what do you mean?
Absolutely.
My religion.
Mm. Absolutely. Yeah, well, Mark, I've decided to take them on, you know, because I know that other stations aren't doing it. And with people like it or not, I don't really care. I'm doing my best, and that's the main thing. Mark, thanks a lot, mate. We're just